ध्यायामोदबलावकुण्डलवतीं तेजोमयीं नैष्टिकीं स्निग्धापाङ्गविलोकिनीं भगवतीं मन्दस्मितश्रीमुखीं वात्सल्यामृतवर्षिणीं सुमधुरसङ्कीर्तनालापिनीं श्यामाङ्गीमधुसिक्तसूक्तिम् अमृतानन्दात्मिकामीश्वरीम् Shankara is speaking about the 15 steps, successive steps, or we can say like each of them can be consecutively or parallelly done. So these steps will ensure that the sadhaka is able to do nididhyasanam at all points of time. When a seeker is able to do nididhyasanam at all times, then it will ensure that he gains a parokshanubhavam or moksham. We also saw Patanjali's definition of yama, the first step which Shankara spoke about in the previous day, and we learned Shankara's definition as well, so both are completely different. So we'll continue the same process. We'll try to see Patanjali's definition of the other steps and Shankara's definition as well. So the second step that, or second anga that Shankara speaks about, the second process that Shankara speaks about is niyama. So as per Patanjali's niyama consists of, even as yama, Patanjali's yama consisted of five don'ts of ahimsa, satya, asteya, brahmacharya, aparigraham. Similarly, niyama as well consists of five parts, five qualities to be practiced. So as per Yoga Darshanam, Patanjali's Yoga Darshanam, yama and niyama are to be followed at all points of time. It's something that a seeker has to always practice. So he has to always practice it. So that's how yama and niyama, they are very generic qualities that a seeker has to practice at all points of time. And that will ensure that he is able to get along with asana, pranayama, pratyahara, dharana, dhyanam, etc. So all those things. So Patanjali speaks about niyama as consisting of five qualities, which are, so these are do's, shaucha, santosha, Swadhyaya, Tapaha, and Ishvara Pranidhanam. So I missed the order. So it is Shaucham, one. Second is Santosham, Tapas, Tapaha, Swadhyayam is the fourth one, and Ishvara Pranidhanam. So Shaucham is again split into internal purity as well as external purity. So external purity or bahya shaucham consists of purity with respect to taking a bath, sitting in a good place which is pure without any trouble. You can also say that malinam or certain objects of the world which are considered impure, like sand, mud, all those things that shouldn't be there in a person's body as well as in the place that he is going to meditate. So that is external shaucham. Internal shaucham is purifying the mind. The mind has to be pure. The thoughts in the mind, the mind should be having pure thoughts instead of impure thoughts. Impure thoughts can be said to be thoughts that are not dharmic in nature. So thinking about something else, thinking about bad things, thinking bad about other people, that is one of the bad thoughts or adharmic chinta. If a person has a mind which has dharmic chintas alone, those thoughts which are accepted as per the norms for a worldly person, then such a person has internal shaucham. So that is shaucham. And second is santosham. So santosham or santushtam means being content. being content with whatever one has, being content with whatever one is able to get, being content with possessions, things, people, money, everything. So it's also a quality of the mind. So contentment is not something external, though contentment depends on external objects, because contentment means being content with external possession, but it's a quality of the mind. The mind, even there have been cases where emperors like Alexander and others who had control over the entire world, they were not content. He had no contentment. Whereas it is said that when Alexander came to India, he conquered India and he was returning back. On the way, he met a saint, a sadhu. A sadhu came in front of him and he asked, "You conquered the entire world. What next?" That's what the sadhu asked. And it is accepted that that changed his perspective, Alexander's perspective of life. Thereby, like when he died, before dying, he said that his hand should be the coffin in which his body would be taken, that should have two holes through which his hand, open hand, should be put, so that people can see that he is not taking anything with him. So Alexander had control over the entire world, yet there was no contentment for him. So external possessions he had, yet he wasn't content. But various saints like Ramana Maharshi and others, they didn't have anything in the world, neither money, nor power, nor disciple, anything. So Ramana Maharshi just had one loincloth, that's it. So he had contentment. So contentment is related to external objects, but still it's a quality of the mind. So santosham is the second thing, second niyama that Patanjali speaks about. Third is tapah. Tapah means tapas, austerity. So austerity in different ways. So japa or chanting is a form of austerity. Similarly, if a person is singing, bhajan is also a form of austerity. So any spiritual practice is an austerity or tapas. And then the fourth one is swadhyayam. So tapas is practical implementation, or we can say practices, whereas swadhyayam is intellectual knowledge, so intellectual practice. So external practices, practices that involve the body and the mind, that is called tapas, whereas practice that involves one's intellect, that involves truth, analyzing truth and learning about the truth, that is swadhyayam. So many people, like people who learn Yoga Shastram or who have little knowledge, they claim or they proclaim that tapas and swadhyayam, they both go together, and any sadhaka should have both. So he should do swadhyayam, swa-adhyayam, learning by oneself, that means doing mananam, and tapas or external practice or practices in general. So practical side and theoretical side we can consider. But in Vedanta also we can say that there is tapas and swadhyayam, but it's just a fine line between both. Vedanta doesn't really emphasize on external practices, as we have seen in Shankara's definition of Yama. It's not a practice as such, it is just implementation of knowledge. So Vedanta gives emphasis only to knowledge, not to any karma. But tapas is a part of karma, or we can say upasana. Upasana is part of karma. So doing particular spiritual or religious activity practice, that is tapas. So Vedanta doesn't speak about tapas or swadhyayam, it just speaks about shravana manana nididhyasanam. That alone is enough for a seeker to realize. So there is no karma, prasakti for karma in Vedanta. So that is swadhyayam and Ishvara pranidhanam. Ishvara pranidhanam means surrender to Ishvara, doing worship to Ishvara. So Ishvara bhajanam, you can say. So these are the five niyamas that Patanjali speaks about. So niyama consists of these five qualities or practices, we can say: shaucham, santosham, tapah, tapas, swadhyayam, and Ishvara pranidhanam. Now let's see, like, as to how Shankara defines niyama. So the very next quality that Shankara defines in the 106th shloka is सॉरी 105th श्लोका इज नियम। सजातीय प्रवाहश्च द्विजातीय तिरस्कृतिः नियमो हि परानन्दो नियमात् क्रियते बुधैः। Yes, so Shankara defines Niyama as Niyamaha. What is Niyama? The first line of the shloka defines Niyama. Sajatiya pravahaha and cha also and vijatiya tiraskritihi. So two aspects. So as per Shankara, Yama was converting all objects or always having the knowledge that everything is Brahman. That was Yama. So Yama was is related to external. When we see external objects, don't get attached to them, don't get raga dvesham with them by having the knowledge that everything is Brahman. Whereas Niyama is more to do with do's. So don'ts, like if we really analyze Yama, Yama is don't get attached to sense objects. How can you do that? You can do that by the knowledge that everything is Brahman. Whenever something is seen, negating the Nama Rupam and asserting that it is Brahman. That is Yama. Niyama is do. So what should a person do? It's as simple as telling that all the while or at every point of time, like each moment a person should have the thought of Brahman. So the thought of Brahman should be ruling the mind. The mind should be controlled by the thought of Brahman than any other thoughts. So, sajatiya pravaham. Sajatiya means similar thoughts. So, we can say a thought process. Our mind is involved in lots of thought processes. Thoughts go on and on in the mind. So, one thought is succeeded by another thought. And when we are focused on something, then the thought process or thought chain, one thought following the other, so that thought chain will be focusing on that object. That's the reason why when we watch a movie, it's not one single thought that we have during the 2 hours or 3 hours of the movie duration, but the entire thought. If we say that each minute we have one thought, then they are focused, they are related to each other because they are concentrating on the movie. So that is called pravaham, sajatiya pravaham. Thought, flow of thought which are same, flow of similar thought or same pattern of thoughts. So sajatiya pravaham. So continuing like one thought alone, that means we will have multiple thoughts yet they are the same thought, they focus on the same thing. So that is sajatiya pravaham. So having just the flow of one thought alone, that means we can, that doesn't mean that you need to have only one thought. It only means that if we have multiple thoughts, then they are related to each other. And sajatiya pravaham, that is one aspect of having the same thought. The other aspect, if you need to have the same thought in your mind, then you have to negate other thoughts. So vijatiya tiraskritihi. Tiraskritihi or tiraskaram means negating, removing. So negation of vijatiyam. Vijatiyam, V means vigata jatiyam, separate jatis, different jatis. That means having one thought alone, continuity of one thought and negation of all other thoughts. That is called niyama. And it is para-anandaha. It is parama-anandam. It is supreme bliss. It gives supreme bliss. That's the reason why. That is in short, in essence of nididhyasanam. Nididhyasanam is always having the thought of Brahman. Whenever other thoughts are there, still internally the mind is always focusing on the thought of Brahman. Background, that background process of thinking of, about Brahman precedes all other thoughts. So, if a seeker is seeing something and acting in the world, if he is a jnani, if he is acting in the world, still, internally, any moment in his life, or in his mind, focus or priority will be for the thought about Brahman. That is what is meant by sajatiya pravaham. So this doesn't mean that we shouldn't have any other thought. It only means that the background process, and if we term it as a background process, it's also not the apt word, because background processes don't have priority. Priorities are for other processes. Background process happens in the back. We don't even know. We don't give emphasis to it. But here we need to give emphasis to it. Let's say somebody comes and tells a person, a jnani, that okay, don't think about Brahman. So the thought that will come to his mind is, don't think about Brahman. But he will not accept it, because the thought about Brahman presides over other thoughts. The priority of thought of Brahman is more than any other thought. That's the reason why even great like sadhakas like Mahabali and others, they even rejected their father and guru for Brahman. That's what's meant by priority. So if a person's father says, okay, don't go into Vedantam, don't learn Vedantam, because you are getting distracted from the world. If a person is still able to follow Vedanta, overriding his father's or any other person's statement, then that means in his mind there is priority for Brahman. So that's one simple way of finding out. So sajatiya pravaham doesn't mean that we shouldn't do other activities. It only means that in the background, the priority, the highest priority background job, background process in the mind should be the thought of Brahman, and that should always be there. And if that is there, then that will lead to supreme bliss. That's the reason why initially sadhakas who are not able to cope up with the world and Brahman, because both are contrary in nature. If we are in the world, we have to do activities. If we are doing activities, then the mind cannot focus on Brahman. Therefore, initial seekers will try to avoid the world and try to be in Brahman. So they'll try to learn always. They'll try to read books always. Any point of time you ask them something, they'll be reading Vedanta. Anytime you ask them, like if you want to go out for a movie, they'll say, no, I don't want movie, I want only learning Vedanta. So that's the initial stage. That also has to be overcome, because that is a limitation. Person is not able to cope up with the world because he thinks he is not able to concentrate on Brahman while in the world. That's an initial stage. That is fine. But when a person progresses, he'll find that even though he may be working in the world, even though he'll have thoughts about the world, about activities in the world, yet the background process of Brahman, remembering Brahman, will have high priority. So that will always be there. So it's a kind of multi-processing which a person gets used to. Some people get used to, some people don't. Some people get used to listening to music while working, some people cannot. And some people cannot work if they are not listening to music. So there are different kinds of addictions in the world. But a sakshi, a person, an advanced sadhaka who becomes a jnani, he becomes a mere sakshi. So a jnani knows and he is able to implement it, jnana nishtha. So jivan mukta is able to implement jnanam always. Not just when he is learning Vedanta or doing activities in the world. Even when Janaka was enjoying sensual pleasures with his various wives, still he was able to concentrate, contemplate or focus on Brahman. That is what a Jivan Mukta would be able to do. But initially it won't be possible. Yet, if a sadhaka is able to get rid of the world and focus on Brahman, then he will get happiness through Paranandam. This niyama meaning that do always have the continuous thought about Brahman in your mind. Whatever be other thoughts, it doesn't matter whether there are other thoughts, but the thought of Brahman should be continuous. It should be always there. And that thought of Brahman, then how can we interpret vijayatiya tiraskriti here, removal of other thoughts? That means that other thoughts don't preside. Other thoughts are not higher priority than Brahman. So the thought of Brahman is always high priority when it comes to choosing between both. When a person has to choose between the thought of Brahman and worldly thought, then he will choose. There is no thinking, no double thinking, but instantly he will choose the thought of Brahman. So that is called, that is what is Niyama. And Niyamat Kriyate Budaihi Paranando Niyamat. So Niyamat Paranandaha, Niyamat, by practicing Niyama, by Niyama, with the help of Niyama, Paranandaha, a person will be able to gain happiness. That means more and more a person does. An initial sadhaka negates all thoughts and contemplates only on Brahman, that gives him anandam. And when he advances, he'll be able to do in the world. While in the world, he'll be doing worldly activities, still focusing on Brahman. When he's not in the world, then he'll be focusing on Brahman completely. And that is Nididhyasana. When that becomes perfect, that is, that gives anandam. So even if it's not perfect, even if it's not complete or perfect, still it will give anandam. That is not permanent. Permanent anandam can only happen when a person gets realized. So that's the reason why Paramartha or Tejomaya Ananda and Chinmaya or any Mahatmas, take the case of any Mahatmas, people flock around them. Because when they flock around them, when they learn to scriptural statements, when they learn, hear to statements or words of such Mahatmas which speak about Brahman or Ishvara, then they get happiness. But that is limited, because they get happiness only when they go there. That's a limitation. So if I don't go to Paramartha, I am not happy. If I am always with Paramartha, then I am happy. So Balakrishna Nair criticizes this as well, because people will come and say, oh, Paramartha, discourse was really good, very good. But once you come out of the discourse, once you are at home, again the same problems start. So that is not the real purpose. Then there is no point in telling that the discourse was great, it gave me happiness. Because that is also going to be temporary. And Vedas themselves are unreal from the ultimate viewpoint. Then how can a person gain happiness from the Vedas? He cannot gain eternal bliss from Vedas. But initially the seeker will get anandam. So niyamat paranandaha. But when niyama becomes complete, that is nididhyasana, then a person becomes realized. When that happens, then always anandam. There is no particular scenario. If I am listening to Vedanta, I am happy. If I am going for a movie, I am happy. If I am in a party, I am happy. So whatever I am doing, wherever I am, anandam is part of my life. It has become my nature. My nature is anandam, because I am always happy. Therefore, since this gives, niyama gives anandam, so niyama, we can say niyama in a way helps in attracting seekers. Even as worldly pleasures like movies or alcohol, smoking, etc. attract worldly people because they give happiness, similarly niyama ensures that sadhakas who have come to it once, they will be attracted because they gain happiness from it. Since they gain happiness from it, they will be attracted. So a person will want to do more and more niyama. And if he wants to do more and more niyama, then he has to do yama as well. He has to gain jnanam, paroksha jnanam. Therefore he will learn. So one of the simple way of finding out whether a person is really getting anandam, he's in the right direction, is to find the time a person spends in the world and complete focus on Vedanta. So initial sadhakas will have to focus more on Vedanta than being in the world and focusing. So being in the world and focusing cannot be done by an initial person. Even as a person who doesn't know swimming cannot swim in the ocean. He can only swim in a lake or the swimming pool. But once a person becomes a good swimmer, then he can swim in the ocean. But for an initial sadhaka, so therefore, like, the more and more a person tries to spend or wants to spend time learning in Vedanta, then that means that he is progressing in the right direction. And since niyama gives anandam, temporary anandam initially and finally paramanandam, therefore kriyate budaihi. Therefore niyama is budaihi, by wise people kriyate, wise people practice it. It is practiced by wise people at all times because it gives anandam. We'll continue with the next step in the next day. Hari Om.